Hi, it's Tom Panos here. Very unique today. I'm at Anthony Toop's office in South Australia in the seat that he actually uses himself to interview for Toop TV each week. But we've swapped seats today. And I'm really looking forward to this interview because I consider Anthony Toop as one of the greatest real estate agents in Australia over the last 30 years or so. We're going to get into the detail. Hi, Anthony. How are you?
Very good, Tom. Yeah, welcome to the leader's chair, mate.
Yes. Yeah. I was eyeing it off on Wednesday, or the day before yesterday, and I've got it now.
We should put the big back on it or something, make it into the power seat. But no, yeah. It's great to see you, Tom, and always a pleasure to catch up for a bit of a chat.
Yeah. Anthony, how long... There's a lot of real estate agents out there that aren't in South Australia, Queensland, New South Wales, Victoria. They know of you. They know of your brand. You've got a brand that resonates with Australia in real estate. They see it as an innovative brand. They see it as a brand that has been an attraction business for a long time. But can you give me the two-minute version of Toop & Toop?
Well, Toop & Toop started back in 1985 on the 8th of May. And just as a matter of interest, Tom, every single year we celebrate that actual day.
Right.
So we keep that tradition. 27 years ago, and but before that, prior to that, I was in real estate for roughly 10 years. I got into it at 19, so I was 25, I think, actually, when we started Toop & Toop, and it was Sylvia and myself, and it's still a sole director company, so I'm the sole director, and as the accountant said when I transferred my matrimonial home years ago into Sylvia's name, mate, yes, you own the business, good on you, but she owns all the assets. So, so yeah, I own the business, but I own all the debt in the business. No, so that's the structure. It's really simple. It's Sylvia and I. The girls are just coming into the business as we speak, like over the last couple of months, and next year will be pretty much a handover year. Not completely, but they'll start to really assert their influence under my guidance and Sylvia's guidance. The genuine real deal family business, but we're the largest independent in the state, six offices plus this one, so seven if you like in total. We've got about 140 staff, it was 160, and we do a lot of business. Yeah, it's a big, probably a big business, big deal over here. Yeah.
What do you do in the business today?
Today, I am actually a self-anointed CEO and MD.
Yep.
So I've always been MD from day one. Then we've had a procession of CEOs, and right now I am the MD and the CEO.
Okay. How long were you in real estate before you opened up a business again?
Just under 10 years.
Okay.
So,
were you a good salesman?
I was good at selling. Yeah.
Right.
And that's not being silly about it. I was just... yeah.
From day one, you were natural?
Well, I went from $4,000 a year working in my brother's electrical business, eldest brother's electrical business, to $25,000 a year overnight.
Right.
And that they are very low numbers, but in those days, that was what it was. And with $4,000 income, I was saving $2,000 a year with a $4,000 income living at home in the country,
right,
in South Australian country. And then came into real estate, and I did not know, Tom, what to do with the money. You'd think about anyone's income and then just go 4 to 25,000, so that's five, you know, plus times. And honestly, I was a young kid, 19 years old, and just didn't know what to do with the money.
So I'm curious, do you think it's harder now or the same to be successful, like for a 20-year-old?
In some ways... Look, you know, you always say it's this or it's that, but probably no different, really. You know, the same number of people succeed. I clearly remember in the old days, and, like, it's really very clear in my memory, that the people that were brought up the front in those days and applauded for massive success, been in the business 5 minutes, listed five houses, sold three this month, listed seven houses, sold six, that none of them are in the business anymore. The thing that happened with, you know, back all those years ago and happens even today is the instant success people invariably aren't in it in a decade, you know, afterwards.
Anthony, you yourself have been a great agent. You're a good salesperson. You've employed hundreds of people, hundreds and hundreds. What makes a good real estate salesperson?
Well, today, in the old days, you could argue that the slick salesperson, the fast talker, the smooth talker, the one that sort of bullshitted the most convincingly, were the top people. It's almost, and certainly in my environment that we work in, almost without exception, the top guys are nice people now. So there's been a bit of a shift. And the 80-pound gorillas that people talk about, a lot in our business, they seem to be good operators, number one operators, maybe for 5 or 6 years or maybe up to a decade. But I don't see them as having staying power in this market. The consumer is really, really sensitive to being bullshitted, whereas in the old days, I think you got away with it.
Right.
There was a less, less savvy type consumer.
So you think nice wins now?
Nice, firm and confident and well-informed. That'd be the attributes that we look for. And instant success can be fine, but can be a real trap. So my experience is that we've had people with very quick success, and as I mentioned right at the, just a few seconds ago, it may be, the death knell as well, because I think somehow they find it too easy and then they drop off.
Yeah.
But my observations are with our own team that as you build, I call it brick by brick, so you're building your business brick by brick. Salespeople build their businesses brick by brick, so it's not tilt up, it's not instant. They tend to be there a decade later, 2 decades later, so they have the staying power. And my observations again are that if you don't get repeat business in this business, you wear out. And the guys that are really successful have an enormous percentage of their business coming from existing clients or previous clients.
Okay, I want to talk about your brand. It's an amazing brand. How does one create an amazing brand?
It's event after event after event and consistency. And I think in our case, it was about from pretty much day one, back when people did bullshit a lot, we were really straight. It used to get us into a lot of trouble. When the dummy bidding, saga happened here, I was front page, because we just declared that we're no more dummy bidding with Tube and Toot. We didn't like it. We didn't agree with it. We agreed with the legislators. We were contrary to the opinion of the time of the industry. But that honesty and the preparedness to go against whatever anyone else is saying and come from the heart and go, this is what I believe. I don't actually care what you believe, Tom. You're an industry competitor. That's fine. You believe whatever you choose. This is what I believe. I'm going to back it in. I'm going to go and do it. And I think that's what's set us apart, because, one event after another, and there's been heaps of them, it gradually builds a picture in the mind of the consumer that you're fed income.
So it's a constant pursuit of doing things that make you different, sticking away from sameness. Sameness is something that happens in real estate where everyone's the same. You've chosen to be different.
I don't mind sameness if we agree with it.
Right.
So it's not about being different for the sake of being different, which a lot of people would say, look, you just want to be different. It doesn't matter what it is, but be different. I think that, in my view anyway, it's about a belief system and go, I think that's the best thing to do. I think that's the best way to market a property. And I don't really care about all the whatever's going on. That's the best way that person's going to get a result. And I'll give you a couple of examples where you build brand over years. And it's two sort of examples. A client came into my office, an elderly couple. They'd withdrawn their property, had a terrible experience. They'd paid their advertising already. It was about 10 grand. After they'd paid the money, they sent a letter in, and I said, let's meet. So we got together with them. They started to tell me the experience they had. This was about 20 years ago, and it was no different today. And then I the person they were dealing with, and we'd had a few problems with that particular salesperson. And as they described the events of their experience with Toop and Toop and through the salesperson, I just said to Sylvia, who was in with me in this chat, you know, finding out what happened, I said, let's get the checkbook, and we wrote the check out for the 10 grand and gave it back to them.
Right.
They were fair dinkum. What they were saying resonated with every experience and all of the experience we'd had with the salesperson, right? And we just have to say, you know what? You poor things. How is my brand, my company, put you through that amount of pain? That is awful. Wrote the check out. That's on the one hand. Then you get on the other hand nowadays where people just want to use real estate agents as a punching bag, right? Now, when we sense and believe our inward belief system is that someone's having a go, we're as tough as nails. Absolutely see you all the way. Even over, we got one at the moment of $1,000. $1,000. You know, everyone, all the books tell you for customer service, you know, just don't create a fuss. But we stand on our digs on principle. Go, no, you're having a crack. You know, you just want $1,000 because you think you can get it. No.
So what you're saying is do the right thing, not the popular thing.
Do the easy thing. Exactly right. There's a saying, and I don't know what the Latin is, but I heard it was a school motto, do right and fear not.
Yeah.
And in a lot of the stuff I've written over the years, I've used that, do right and fear not. So do the right thing and be fearless.
Okay, Anthony, you strike me as being really media savvy. You strike me as someone...
Because I know you, Tom.
Well, I think that's a good thing, and I think that goes to show that you are media savvy because you're meeting the right people and saying the right things to them, right? But you strike me as someone that has learnt how this world of media operates, how mass media operates, how marketing operates, how brand operates, what readers want. Is that natural? Do you have a system in place? Because we've got a lot of real estate agents watching this out there. There's thousands of agents, and they say to themselves, but how do I get on the shopping list? How do I actually get on that list and be so visible in the marketplace when you see brands like McGrath and Toop and Toop? Has it been a conscious effort? What do you do? I know that you're a big user of print advertising across both the Adelaide Advertiser and to a less extent the Messenger. I know that you're a user of online, realestate.com, and you're also editorially out there. You're at social functions all the time. You seem just to be out there.
Tom, that happens over a long time. We managed to get a slot in the early years by spending a few dollars on a radio station that was not rating well at all, and made the decision to try a hand at radio, and we're talking 1994, long time ago. Now, at that time they weren't rating, and at that time they gave us a half-hour show as part of the spend as editorial base. So a classic example of what we understand and the rules are, we weren't pushing Toop and Toop at all, not at all. So it was just pure information-based half-hour on radio. Now, subsequent to that, that same radio station now is the number one station in the state. And we still have that half-hour slot every single week, and we don't pay for it. We don't pay a cent for it. It's pure editorially based. And through that whole time, we've seen astrologers come and go, and vets, you know, they've had a number of new management takeovers. They've had new owners. In fact, Murdoch owns the 5AA. So, and we've survived it over all those years and all those people that have come and gone, people have had the segments and gone, I believe, because it's information rich. We're not trying to flog Toop and Toop. And the byproduct of you representing, you know, the information and being the, if you like, the centre of gravity for that information is what attracts the media, not the spin and the bullshit. Now, the other thing that's really important is the heat I've taken over the years from different industry members for saying it as it is, because the marketplace is hungry for what it is and not what someone else wrote, what you have seen. You're on an auction. You're telling them what the week was like. You're telling them what the month was like. And it's good, if it's bad, it's bad, and that's just what it is. And I'm convinced that's what attracts the journos. They just hate getting fed up a whole lot of mush.
Right. Okay, that's good. Can I move it back? A lot of the people that are watching this are salespeople that would be riding less than 200,000 in gross commission, which means that they're earning less than 100.
Well, at the moment, Tom, that is an issue. The volumes are down a lot.
Yeah. What would you say to the person out there who's in pain, who's struggling, who is waking up, who's spending their day in real estate going from the heights of exhilaration to the depths of depression in one day? What do you say to that person? What's the advice you give them from Anthony Toop?
The first thing is you can't affect the outcomes. You can only affect the inputs. So don't measure yourself by your sales and don't measure yourself by your listings. Measure yourself by the number of phone calls you've made and the number of people you've spoken to and the number of good contacts you've made or through the day. You can only control that. You can't control whether they give you the business or what the market does. And then you need to feel good about yourself. So if you're pitching yourself against previous income and you're worried about your listings and then subsequently sales, you can end up in a really bad place. And if you end up in a bad place, all your figures will go to
stop.
Yeah, just stop. So the first thing is judge yourself by what you can influence and stick your KPIs around that. The second thing is be quite clinical about it and mark out in your diary times where you spend with your children or if you've got children or your friends or your girlfriend, whomever it is, and stick with it. And even if you're at the depth of despair and someone rings to get a listing, tell them that you can't make it at that time and that you'll see them the next day or, in 2 days' time. And there's this kind of ambience, this thing that you generate, this feeling that you generate, and people are attracted to someone who's busy and in control.
Yeah.
So the most important thing is to get in control of yourself and be at peace with yourself. Now, I went to a Cold War banker conference. It was their big anniversary one. There were 10,000 delegates at San Francisco. It was flown over by the Cold War banker guys here who were wanting us to come on board. And one of the best sessions I've ever seen was with a guy that was saying about, lift your performance. And his whole session was about to fix yourself. He said, because you will not do good business unless you hedge right and whether you're feeling good about yourself. And, I've never forgotten that. That was quite a few years ago now. And it is so true. When people feel good about themselves, they do good business. So the tip, Toop's tip. Toop's tip is set a plan up. Don't set yourself up for failure. So set KPIs that you can do and know you can do. And it might be 30 phone calls a day to people off a database or clients, six calls to friends and mates, and two cups of coffee with two different people during the day, one at morning tea, one at afternoon tea. Now, that's all you need to do. And in real estate, all you need to do is come across as confident, informed, and that's where training is absolutely critical. And every morning, you might have a KPI that you read three articles about real estate. So you're just downloading, and you don't even know it, but your knowledge is just lifting. And it's not knowledge that, you're trying to sell something. It's just knowledge about real estate, about finance, about, what's going on, in the economy that impacts on people with homes, and become, absolutely obsessed with knowing more than the next guy, and then the business will happen.
Okay. Training's a big thing with you guys?
Training is huge. On the one hand, we're trying not to waste people's time, so we don't want to overdo it. But on the other hand, particularly with the mood swings, the consumer, and collectively sharing is probably as important as training as well.
Right. Anthony, cancer.
Yes.
We've both had our experiences in the last couple of years, and I'm glad that we're both doing well.
We're both here.
What does it mean to you? What's cancer mean to you? What's cancer mean for real estate?
Well, cancer is a pretty full-on disease, and the first thing that I think is worth qualifying for those that may not be aware is that cancer is not like a cold. You don't just get over a cold. Cancer comes in many, many forms. I had no concept that when I had radio and chemo, I just assumed that's knocking out the cancer. That's knocking out my particular cancer. And I didn't realise until I was sitting in the chair getting loaded with the chemo, and the girl next to me had had cervical cancer, got through it, cured, and then she had breast cancer. And I'll say that with a bit of a laugh, that's a nervous laugh, because it hadn't occurred to me that all the other cancers have got the same probability if you've had cancer.
Yeah.
And I just thought, like a cold, you just fix it and the cold's over, you know. And but look, it's, you know, it's the sort of thing where in my case, and similar to you, I guess, I didn't know whether I had 3 days to live, 3 weeks to live, 3 months to live, you know, 30 years to live. And that really does resonate, you know, in terms of what it's all about. I haven't lost the passion for real estate one bit, Tom. You know, so entrenched in my life. The only thing that I am now doing is the kids came straight home, and just because at that stage I didn't know whether I was going to be here now. I've been fortunate they've got it early and they think it's all done and dusted. But what it's meant is that the succession plan, I've just brought it forward because I've actually got a lot more to offer this industry than being the CEO. I've never wanted to be the CEO of our business. It's just that I haven't been able to find anyone that can actually do it through this, steer it through this time. In a boom market, it's easy, you know, like you can run a business pretty easily. But in a market where we've had 40% drop in volumes of transactions, you've actually got to be bloody good at what you're doing to be in business. Yeah.
So what do you think you're going to be doing in the next couple of years? I mean, you're getting the girls who I met who are extremely smart, well-presented, and they seem to have a passion for real estate. You've got that passion, and I can't get over it. The other night we were talking. After everything gone through, I mean, you could have spoke for 4 hours on real estate. So that hasn't changed.
No, well, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, whatever you like, it's just something that I think is in your blood or not. I don't think everyone's suited to it. So look, the plan is that I love real estate. I'm absolutely passionate about it. I can teach my team a lot more than I've been doing. I've been too busy. You know, let's take the 6 months out for the cancer, because I had diagnosed on, ironically, the anniversary of our business, 8th of May, I was diagnosed.
Right.
That was our 27th anniversary, the day. That night I had a big function here with the whole staff. And at that stage, all I knew was a photograph that they saw in my esophagus, and they just knew I was in trouble. So that was a pretty tough period, you know. But 6 months, radio chemo, I'm back. Now that I'm back, I want to impart my, you know, 30-odd years of knowledge to as many people as I can, including the kids.
Right.
So I'm on a download mode. And the thing that has changed my life, Tom, is that I now understand that it's time to give that knowledge and pass that knowledge on, because the sooner that I can get out of being the CEO, the sooner I can get on with developing more product, which is what I'm good at for real estate. And I think real estate's going to change dramatically. And I think that we're going to have to be a lot smarter and a lot wiser than we've been. The elements will be the same, but what's happening in the background will change. You know, and I'm really passionate about continuing to be innovative, which is what we've built the brand on. We talked about brand before. Our brand is based on the back of a innovative DNA.
Okay. One final tip. Out there to a lot of the young agents, 37 years in real estate, what's the one tip that you give to people that want to become like Anthony Too? They want to build a business, they want to become rich, they want to make a big success of their life, and they've chosen real estate as the vehicle. What's the advice you give them?
Okay. Well, I guess if you're out there looking to get into real estate, if your motivator is money, I think you're going to find it really hard work. If your motivator is just enjoying the thrill of the highs and the lows and those big moments where you get a listing and, you know, you just have a convertible, you know, for a long while, put the top down when I'd leave at 9 o'clock at night, having listed property, there's no better feeling. So I think you need to be driven by the passion and the thrill of competitive sort of, environment. But most of all, if you don't want to help people, it's going to be too hard, and the money just flows from the success of having that desire to look after people. So if you don't have the feeling, in my view, this is what we're talking about, if you don't have the passion to get out there and be better than the next guy, know more than the next guy, be a better marketer than the next guy, and get better results than the next guy, and if that's not what turns you on, it's not what lights you up in the morning, gets you out of bed, then you're going to find it really hard work.
Thank you so much, Anthony. It's a pleasure.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you.